I recognize back in the 80s. Remember, if you remember any of those older fans back in the 80s, Don Prudhomme, Don Garlitz, Shirley Muldowney,
yep.
they sat out because they didn't have sponsors. And back then, I wanted to be a professional driver, right? It's like, well, that's really not the right way to go.
Because if they can't get
it, who am I? I'm nobody.
Yeah. yeah.
If Don Garlitz and Don Prudhomme and Shirley Muldowney can't race because they don't have sponsors, who am I going to do? So then my attention focused to guys like Joe Amato and Connie Coletta. Those guys were successful businessmen.
Business people.
So I said, you know what? I got to change my focus. If I want to be able to be a top fuel racer someday, my best bet would be to successful businessman. How do I be a successful businessman? Well, I went to school, went to college. My route was went to business school, went to college. I went to grad school, got my master's degree in business. And that was my path. I wanted to learn how to be successful in business so I could afford to go race and not have to worry about having a sponsor to race. That was my path.
Right.
If I'm successful in business, then I can afford to go race and I don't have to have a sponsor.
Our special guest today is Paul Lee from the Warren Automotive Group. What's going on, guys? We're here at PRI 2023. I'm here with my partner, Frankie Five, and with me, our special guest today is Paul Lee from the Warren Automotive Group. So, Paul, we're here with you today. You guys released a new product today. But before we get to the new products, give us a little bit of background of the Warren Automotive Group.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, okay. So McLeod Clutches, it started originally as McLeod Clutches, and it's called now McLeod Racing, that manufactures clutches, bell housings, throwout bearings, shifters. Started in 1971. This is our 52nd year in business.
Wow.
And that's how it all started. I bought the company in 2008. So I've owned the company now 15 years and it was a struggling company. And, when I bought it, we just built, you know, took a couple of years to bring it back to life. So, fast forward to a couple of years ago, we're doing really well. McLeod Racing, some big customers like Summit, Jags, Turn 14, Motor State, you know, there are big customers.
Right.
And we decided, our specialty is driveline. So let's expand into other forms of driveline. So then we said, okay, we're in the standard transmissions. If we want to be experts in driveline, what's the next logical step? Well, transmissions autos. And converters.
Yeah.
Right. So we talked with Greg Samuel, the founder of FTI, and he wanted to semi-retire. So we made a deal, bought FTI converters down in DeLand, Florida. And now we have both sides of the driveline business, standard
right.
shifters and automatics and converters. So then after that, the next logical step was, well, part of a stick shift car is a Tremec transmission, right? Especially if you have a hot rod or muscle car. A Tremec is the go-to transmission.
Yeah.
That's the go-to. So we had a big demand for Tremec transmissions, but we weren't an elite dealer. You know, we had to buy, there's only 10 elite dealers in the United States, and that's how Tremec does their business. When you buy a Tremec, doesn't matter who you are, you have to buy through an elite.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a lot of demand for business, but we weren't an elite, so we sought out to buy an elite distributor.
Wow.
So that's how we came with Silversport.
Okay.
So Silversport was an elite Tremec dealer, so we ended up 3 years ago buying Silversport. And now we've built them to the largest Tremec Elite in the world.
Oh.
So now, as you see the picture, we're completing our, driveline specialty. You know, yep. we want to be the go-to company for driveline.
Yeah, that's whether it's automatic
be.
Or
so whether automatics, converters, hot rods, muscle cars, drag racing, drifting, circle track, road racing, land speed record, we supply anything in driveline that has to do with high performance and racing.
Okay.
And then the latest business that we introduced today was FTI Parts, which is transmission and converter kits and all the parts and pieces you need to rebuild your converter or your transmission, whether it be a Power Glide, Turbo 400, Turbo 350, whether two-piece Power Glide, one-piece Power Glide, we supply all the parts to rebuild your transmissions and converters.
Awesome. So on that side, that's your day job, I should say, right?
Yeah.
Then you also have Paul Lee Racing. So give us a brief history of Paul Lee Racing, how long you've been doing it, and has it always been drag racing?
Yes. I started drag racing when I was 17. Grew up in New Jersey near ATCO Dragway.
Hometown.
That's where I grew up.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, ATCO.
Yeah, no more. I know. That's my home track. Grew up there. Started racing there when I was 17. I had a fake ID. You had to be 18 to race at ATCO Dragway. Oh, I had a fake ID, and I didn't have a car either. So I used to borrow my mom's car. My mom had a 74 Plymouth Duster with a slant six.
Wow.
That was my first drag racing car. I used to take it to ATCO on Friday nights and the street racing nights and race it. I was racing like 19, 20 second times, but that's how I started drag racing. I just loved hot rods, muscle cars. Drag racing was the thing. When I was a kid, I saw funny cars for the first time, and it said, you know, I saw Jungle Jim Lieberman at ATCO Dragway, and I said, that's what I want to do. I want to be a nitro funny car driver someday. And my whole life has been dedicated to doing that.
To motorsports.
To motorsports. And you know, everything you see with the business is all related to being able to be a top fuel funny car driver. So I started out racing my mom's car. And then I started racing faster and faster cars, the old-fashioned way, worked my way up. And then when I was 28, I had my first alcohol funny car.
Wow.
Right? Every dollar I had, I'd put it in and race. And I had one of everything. I had no spares, nothing. Went to my first race with nothing but one engine, I had nothing, no spares. And that's how I started. And that was 1988.
Wow.
And I've been racing funny cars ever since. Moved my way up, right? Drove for different people and drove, you know, for the Jim Dunn Racing. I drove for 2 years in Top Fuel. I drove for Paul Smith in funny cars. And now I have my own team. So now in 2023, I competed with my own team that's a satellite team at Don Schumacher Racing. So I keep my car here in Indianapolis at the race shop of DSR. That's where I keep my team. Okay. And here we are in 2023. Made my dream come true. When I was 13, I wanted to be a funny car racer. And I'm a lot older now. And I still want to be a funny car racer.
You can add that to the resume. You are a funny car racer.
Hey, Paul, so what would be, if you could come up with an advice to a person, hey, I want to be a funny race car driver too, funny car race car driver. What would be one advice that you would give to that person so that they could succeed to be like you?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I did something that's different than everybody. I didn't have a rich mom and dad that were billionaires that could buy me a race team, right? My parents were school teachers. So my path, I recognized back in the 80s, if you remember any of those older fans back in the 80s, Don Prudhomme, Don Garlitz, Shirley Muldowney, they sat out because they didn't have sponsors. And I'm thinking, you know, back then I wanted to be a professional driver, right? It's like, well, that's really not the right way to go.
Because if they can't get
it, I'm nobody.
Yeah.
If Don Garlitz and Don Prudhomme and Shirley Muldowney can't race because they don't have sponsors, who am I going to do? So then my attention focused to guys like Joe Amato and Connie Coletta. Those guys were successful businessmen.
Business people.
So I said, you know what? I got to change my focus. If I want to be able to be a top fuel racer someday, my best bet would be a successful businessman. How do I be a successful businessman? Well, I went to school, went to college. My route was went to business school, went to college. I went to grad school, got my master's degree in business. And that was my path. I wanted to learn how to be successful in business so I could afford to go race and not have to worry about having a sponsor to race. That was my path, because now I control my own destiny.
Right.
If I'm successful in business, then I can afford to go race and I don't have to have a sponsor.
That's true.
So that was my goal.
And you can race on your terms.
And race on my terms. I mean, it would be great to have more sponsors as always, but if I want to race 15 races, I can go race 15 races.
Yeah, you don't have to answer to anybody.
Very expensive.
Very expensive, very competitive as well.
You know, it's $50,000 to $100,000 a race to run one of those cars.
Wow.
People think, how could it be that much? It is. When you, the amount of parts and pieces and the personnel, you know, to have good people. I mean, your payroll is like 60% of your budget in the top fuel car. You need people to work on these things. So
people like Krista.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Krista, she was a manager of the team. She also races. I support her and what she does. And because she's part of my team, you know, so I want to help her. But to answer your question, in my instance, since I didn't have a rich mommy and daddy to buy me a team, I had to do it on my own. And the way I had to do it on my own is be successful in business. So no matter what business, you know, whatever your passion is, you be successful in that, then you can control your own destiny if it comes to when it comes to racing, if that's what you choose to do. That was my path.
And that's great to hear that you're, you know, a lot of people sometimes hear, especially when you own a successful business like this, oh, he probably had this from it handed down to him or it was given to him on a silver platter. But it's really actually great to hear that you are self-made, and it gives other people out there hope that if they work hard, go to school, get education or whatever passion they want, they could become just like you, a race car driver.
100% true. Anybody can do it. I mean, I didn't even know I wanted to be a businessman until I realized that those guys can't get sponsors. I'm going to have to follow guys like Joe Amato and Connie Coletta. If I can be more like them, then I can control my own destiny and race. So that was my path that I took. And it wasn't overnight. It took me 20 years to get to that. I mean, it wasn't overnight. But if you never give up your dream, which I'm stubborn, so I'm never going to give up my dream. You know, that 13-year-old dream, I want to be a Nitro Funny Car driver someday. I don't care what it's going to take. I'm going to work my ass off.
And you
know
what?
I used to be at the library. I remember in college, I was at the library, you know, and all my friends are out partying, drinking beers at the frat house, right? I'm in the library studying because I kept thinking, you know, drawing pictures, you know, I have a Nitro Funny Car. It's like, okay, do I want to go leave and go have a beer with my buddies, or do I want to keep studying and look at the big picture and look at my
the
funny
long game.
This is what I want to be. No, I went back to studying.
Yeah.
That was just
And not
my
many
goal.
People have that mentality either. Well, especially nowadays too. I think people want instant gratification, instant success.
They do, and really just, there's nothing
doesn't
instant.
Exist.
No, it doesn't exist. It's you know, people will say you might probably never have heard of me, maybe. And they say, well, Paul, he has a Nitro Funny Car, he's out there racing. But you know what?
They don't
know something that I've been working at for my whole life.
Yeah.
You know, it's not something that I just decided to do 5 years ago and now I'm doing it.
Right.
It's something I decided to do when I was 13.
Yep.
And trying to figure out how to get there on my own when I didn't have rich family to support what I want to do or a family business to hand it down to me. You know, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Those are fortunate people.
Yeah, that's just the luck of the draw.
But the way I did it, you know, it's just the way I did it.
So from Wharton Automotive Group, was there something prior to that before you started getting into the powertrain side?
Yes. So when I first went to business school, I went to law school.
Okay.
And so I figured, okay, you know, I'll go to business school, get my master's degree. I'll go to law school. I'll have that. I'll have all the tools that I need to be a successful businessman. Well, then my first career, you know, I worked for the Philadelphia Stock Exchange as a securities attorney.
Okay.
So that was my first career, but that got my feet tasting learning business. That's why, you know,
a
that
very
was sort
fast paced business too.
Yes. And that was sort of like being a apprenticeship into business and learning. And then after that, I went to work for a clutch company, Bonafani Friction in Philadelphia, as their CFO. Okay. And then I learned more about the business and clutch business and the finance biz part of it and just grew from there. And then eventually I bought McLeod back in 2008, and that was the start of it.
Okay. And so for your team now, you said that this is your 2023 or moving forward is going to be like your own team now, Paul?
I've had my own team since 2019.
Okay.
Yeah, my team is at DSR. I'm the owner of the team and also the driver. So I own my own team and I hire my own people, crew chiefs, you know, employees, things like that to run the team for me. I live in California, but my team's based here. So I have Krista overseas, my race team. I have crew chiefs and crew people that actually do the mechanics. I go to the race when I show up, the car is prepared, and those guys make it happen.
Practicing. How do you get practice time in?
No, there's really no practicing and there's testing, but we do very little testing because it's so expensive to run the car.
Right.
You know, so really there's no way to practice, but you know, I've been driving now funny cars since 1988. This is 35 years I've been driving these things. So
you have all that experience.
Yeah. I have a lot of experience, a lot of runs. I'm one of the more experienced guys that race out there. So it's more of the hard part about drag racing. It's not necessarily driving the car. It's more about raising the money in the business end of it. That's the hard part, especially at this level, because it costs so much to run the cars. And we have some good people. I have Steve Cole that works for me. He's my marketing guy. And his full-time job is out there, you know, talking to sponsors, getting us sponsors, getting us financial help. So we don't have to fund it all ourselves. So, but it's, you know, it's a team effort, no matter what. There's a manager, there's a crew chief, there's a car chief, there's a bottom end guy, a clutch assistant, left-hand cylinder heads, right-hand cylinder heads, marketing, hospitality. It takes, you know, close to 20 team. People to run a team at a race. So, you know, it's just like any other business. It's a business. And, you know, and I run the race team like a business, just like the, you know, the Wharton Automotive Group is no different. It's all about your people. You want good people and you treat them right. And you have a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So,
well, I'm sure you, you know, especially since we're here at PRI, I'm sure you get a lot of, or you have a lot of conversations where race car drivers out there are coming up to you and saying, hey, Paul, I'd like to get a McLeod sponsorship. I'm assuming you get that.
We get it a lot. Yeah, for sure. Especially at this show. But a lot of people that have been around racing, that know racing, they know how big our program is and what we pay for it, a lot of it ourselves. And then, and any, when we do help people, we do help some teams out there. We help Krista, of course. Krista is a dedicated person in my team and she's loyal, very dedicated. So to, you know, give back to her, I want to help her. So if I'm going to help somebody, it's going to be Krista.
Right.
And then we help some, you know, Ricky Sylvia.
Got Ricky Silva, him. Friend of the team.
Yep. He's our, one of our, you know, team cars. So I consider him part of our race team. You know, guys like Ty Tutterow, we help them. The Leskowskis, Brad Leskowski, their family from Michigan, we help them. So there's a lot of teams we do help. We help, you know, give back. And plus we like to sponsor races because that gives back to everybody.
Right.
I'll give you an example. The upcoming pro race at Bradenton in February.
Yep.
Well, we're sponsoring the Top Sportsman series. So it's going to be the FTI Top Sportsman because they're our core customers for FTI. The World Series of Pro Mod coming up after that. The Drag Illustrated World Series of Pro Mod. Well, we're sponsoring Top Dragster and Top Sportsman.
Oh, wow.
At that race, the FTI. So we give back to our racers more of helping them all, like putting up prize money for a race that they can all race for.
Absolutely.
So that's how we kind of like look at it.
So, Paul, are there any criteria that a person would have to meet in order to become sponsored by McLeod?
Good question. We get sponsorship proposals all the time, but it's more of a need. Okay, I'll give you an example. Ricky Sylvia fills an area that we want to market in.
Okay.
So Krista does marketing like in areas that we want to market in, like certain areas, like Chicago. She likes to race Chicago. Well, we do special sales with our distributors around that area. So it's
for
not
activation
just putting a decal.
Like
it's more of activation and business-to-business deals.
Right.
Right. We'll do sales with Summit and Jags and Turn 14, we'll do special, like, for example, we'll do a McLeod sale at the Norwalk race because that's the Summit track. Summit's our biggest customer.
Right.
Right. So we'll do a dual activation. We'll activate. We'll do a special 10, 20% off McLeod products during that race week and we'll sell product. That's how we do our deals.
Got it.
It's more of a, like,
we ask
a need and a business to business relationship.
Right.
So if someone can bring a business to business relationship to us,
right,
we'll always look at it.
Yeah, not just, hey, Paul, I need money.
Put a sticker on your car.
Yeah, like, Paul, I
need money, Paul.
I like to rock your clutch, and can you give me a free clutch, and I'll put a sticker on.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen that way.
No, in today's world, it's, and even at my level, when our partners, we have a tool partner, Power Built Tools is our tool partner for our funny car team.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they don't just give us money to put a sticker on the car. We get them sales.
Right. Yeah.
That's what we, and even at our level, we do the same thing. I'm doing the same thing, getting our sponsors sales.
Yeah, they need
getting
ROI.
Them a return on investment.
Yep.
Exactly.
It's very important. We ask that a lot because, you know, obviously coming to this show, our first year, you know, we're getting tons of proposals, decks and stuff left and right. They all get lost. You know, we don't know you and you're just coming up. Hey, I'm the next biggest thing. What can you do for me? I don't know. Do you even know who we are? Like, I feel like sometimes the people proposing these sponsorships, they don't even know anything about you. They just know that you're a big, they see the sign, they see McLeod, but they don't even use your product. They have no idea of what's going on. They're just looking for money.
Oh yeah, have you been to our website?
Yeah.
Do you know what we sell?
That's a big thing.
Who do we sell to?
Yeah.
You know, do you have a relationship with a distributor or with a customer, like maybe even a race shop somewhere?
Yeah, I think that's very important because
you have to understand how this world is today.
Yeah.
And the world is selling products, not like giving me the days of those days have been over a long
those
time
are gone.
Ago where someone's going to give you money to for you to put their sticker on the car. Yeah. That doesn't mean anything.
That's old now.
That's over 40 years ago. Today's world, it's all business
it's
to business.
Business.
What you can do to what are you going to do for your partner? And I don't call them sponsors. We call them partners.
Partnerships and relationships at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, we're getting you sales to get an ROI as a partnership. You know, how are we going to get the sales? Think out of the box. There's so many creative ways to get sales.
Yep.
For your potential partner. And don't say sponsor. Tell them they're your marketing partner.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing. You're getting them sales.
It's marketing to
market. How are you going to do that? Think out of the box. Be original.
That's very important, especially coming from you. I mean, you're a decision maker, and I'm sure you come across tons of decks too here at PRI and even at SEMA shows and like big shows that people come up to you, because I feel like that old school asking for money is not there anymore.
No, it hasn't been for a long time. Even at our level of Top Fuel Funny Car Racing, I mean, you know, I'll give you another example. Our oil partner is Redline Oil. Best oil there is. And I'm not just saying that. In a Top Fuel engine, those things are abusive. There's not too many oils that survive in those engines, right? It's 70 weight oil. Redline's the best. But Redline just doesn't sponsor me for oil. I get them sales.
Right.
And then how do I get them sales? Well, at FTI, when we sell a converter transmission, what do we sell? We sell Redline oil. That's how it works.
Yep.
Yeah, Redline sponsors me in oil, but I also get them sales of oil.
You're also selling their oil.
We're selling their oil. And we know it works in our Top Fuel engine, and we recommend it for our converters and our automatic transmissions that, you know, Redline oil. That's the oil brand that we promote.
And also,
you see how that works?
Yep.
It's all B2B.
And then also, you maintain these relationships with your partners. I think that's also very important too, rather than... You know, for the most part, I'm sure everybody that I see on your car is a friend of yours now. It's more than just business.
It is relationships. It builds relationships. I'll give you another example. Scott Kunal, IGTG, on the car somewhere, right? Computer company, not automotive.
Nope.
Scott's our biggest fan now. He came to a race and said, hey, how can I be involved? You know, and it's more than just give me money, put a sticker on his car. He's part of our family now. Our marketing partners are part of our race team,
mm-hmm.
right? He's been to our booth three times today. Hey, what's going on with the race team? And, you know, he comes to the races on his own money and is part of our team. He's one of our sponsors and marketing partners. And we also figure out ways to get him sales.
Right.
Right? But he loves being part of our team. So he's not just a partner or sponsor. He's actually part of our race team.
Yeah.
So he comes out and enjoys himself, has a great time, watches the car run, and he sees his name on the side of our car, and he's just happy as could be. You know, he's having a good time.
And he's involved.
Yep. Even if it's standing behind a car watching it run, we get him involved.
And that's
all
awesome.
Our partners. You look at all those guys on there, and they're all have become good friends. It's all about relationships. Now that guy would be a partner for us for a long time. Till he decides he's not having fun anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, the relationship, if you don't have a relationship, then what's the point, right? It's being able to hang out after the race and shoot the shit, or, you know, have a drink, have a beer with someone and just talk about, you know, other things, and having that good relationship carries that partnership forward.
For sure. I mean, go out to dinner, you know, sit around after we're racing, share a beer, whatever, but it's all about having fun. I mean, think about it. We're drag racing. We're not curing cancer here.
No.
We're out there having fun, right? I mean, we race seriously, but this is all of our passion. Everybody on the team, whether it's the bottom end guy, crew guy, the hospitality worker, we don't do it for the money. We do it because it's our passion.
And you love it.
Love drag racing. And our partners, they love it too. I mean, Mainline Sales, another guy. Mainline is at every race he comes, and he just loves doing B2B. That's how he gets his customers. He brings us sponsors because he brings potential customers that are his customers and vendors brings them to our hospitality area, and they'll come out for the races. Hey, how can I be involved? He's bought us a half a dozen partners, right? Because he loves it.
Yeah.
When they're all friends. Now we're all friends. They bring their kids and they come out, and it's an outing.
I truly believe in that, about the building relationships, because from the first time I met Krista, you know, we talked, you know, a little bit about what I do, what she does. And from then on, it's just, hey, making introductions. In my mind, I was thinking, well, how can I help you guys? How can I help McLeod? And for a long time, it was like, oh, you guys are developing clutches for the Sport Compact. Obviously, that's what we're into. But me personally, I like drag racing. I don't care what kind of car it is. So when we and Krista started talking, we're like, oh, I said, you know what? Krista came to Jersey one time, and I took her on a little shop tour to all my friends' shops. Hey, this is Krista. They do clutches. We're working on Hondas here, but whatever we need. And it took a little bit of while, but you guys now have a twin disc, triple disc setups. And then now eventually you guys have Ricky.
Yeah, for sure. That's all about the relationship.
And that's it is. Yeah,
Ricky's our buddy. He's been here a couple times today. Yeah. Hey, Ricky, what's up? He's part of our family.
And to me, to have that little part in the back end, I'm like, oh, I'm happy. I was able to try to connect some dots.
Yeah, thank you for that.
No, anytime.
So, yeah. Paul, you know, we ask questions this all the time. Besides drag racing, besides running the business, are there any other hobbies that you have, or is it purely racing is your number one
hobby? No, I mean, I like cars, right? So if it's got a four wheels and a steering wheel motor, I'm in.
Planes, too?
Uh-huh.
You fly, too?
I do. I fly. But I recently, earlier this year, tested in the Super Trofeo Road Racing Series.
Oh, wow.
Which is a lot of fun.
Wow.
So I'm thinking about getting into that.
Wow.
Driving the Super Trofeo cars, road race, doing some road racing on the IMSA circuit. Did some testing. My buddy owns a Super Trofeo car.
Okay.
So I did a couple test sessions out at Thermal, California, racetrack. And we went to Road America earlier this year in August to the race there. Met all the Lamborghini people. And I'm excited about maybe doing that. Been testing in that, running the Lamborghinis, and they're a lot of fun. Road racing, it's fun. I like I said, racing. But also flying. Like to fly. A couple airplanes. That's fun, too. It's fast. I guess anything fast.
You just like speed.
Yeah,
like adrenaline.
I do like adrenaline a lot. I used to skydive. I don't skydive anymore, but I have over 1,500 jumps.
Oh, wow.
From my earlier life. I skydived for 18 years. So that used to be a hobby of mine.
So I think we could say it's safe to say you have an adrenaline.
I guess so. My mom said, my mom told me that when I was a kid. What's wrong with you? Because we used to jump trash cans with our bicycles, me and my brother, right? And I crashed when I was like 14, you know, jumping over trash cans. Like Evel Knievel, you know,
that was the man.
She took me to the hospital. I dislocated my shoulder and like, yeah, something wrong with you, she said.
Hey, we're still doing what you love. I know a couple years back you had a health scare and, almost could possibly have been career ending.
And life ending.
That too.
Yeah.
And now I'm not sure of the exact story, so I'm going to have you tell it, but I heard the one thing you asked the doctor was, when can I get back in the driver's seat?
Yeah, right. So actually, it's kind of funny you asked that question here at the PRA show, because it was in 2016, the day after I got home from the PRA show.
Okay.
Back in California. Got home on the Sunday, right? And got home on Sunday. Monday, I was working out in my gym. I exercise. I, you know, try to keep exercise healthy for driving. And went downstairs and I was just in my life cycle, you know, doing some cardio. Went downstairs and my heart, I felt pain in my chest. Felt like heartburn first. You know how you get heartburn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, man, I said to my girlfriend at the time, she was making dinner. Man, I think I got, man, I'm having heartburn. She goes, heartburn? She goes, you haven't eaten anything, you know, yet. I know. And then within about 30 seconds, I started, couldn't breathe.
Heavy breathing.
Then I felt the tingling in my arm and the numbness in my arm and my shoulder. And then the pain started getting worse. And within about a minute, I said, you know, I think I'm having a heart attack. So call 911. Within, I would say a minute and a half, I was out on the floor.
Wow.
My body started shutting down. I actually had heart failure. It wasn't a heart attack like some people have where they get sweaty and their heart's still beating and you know they can still have a heart attack. I had a what's called a widowmaker heart attack. I had heart failure, 100% blockage of my main artery, LAD artery. So my heart stopped. I didn't know it at the time, but my heart stopped. And within a minute and a half, I was out on the floor. But here's the lucky part. This is why I'm the luckiest guy ever. She calls 911. And where I live, if this would have happened at the PRI show, I wouldn't have survived. The EMTs were at my house in 4 minutes.
Wow.
I live right across the street from the EMT center. How lucky am I? I live right across the street. They came right to my house in 4 minutes and saved my life. Took me to the hospital. Got in the hospital, was in the hospital in 20 minutes, put 3 stents in my LAD. Was in a week recovery. Had damaged heart, right? Obviously, the racing was done. And actually, I just signed a deal to, I raced the last couple races of that year in 2016 with Coletta Motorsports as their third funny car driver.
Okay.
I joined Coletta's. So 2017, I had all these plans to, be another driver for Coletta Motorsports, with Alexis and Dell as teammates.
Mm-hmm.
And then the heart attack happened and I had to stop driving. But at that time, I couldn't care less about the driving. It was more like, am I going to live?
Right.
That was more the concern. And I made it through that. And make a long story short, after about a year of rehab, my doctor says, cardiologist, he goes, man, you're really doing good. What do you? Says, I know you're exercising a lot, you're eating right. I never smoked in my life. I don't smoke, do drugs, never did that in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. And when he said that, I'm thinking, what about driving my race car? Right? And my cardiologist, he doesn't know anything about racing or what we do.
He just thinks race car.
Yeah, he said, race car? Oh, yeah, you can drive your car.
You're like,
I go, I think you might want to come out to the track to see what I'm talking about. Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll come out. So the world finals were coming up. So he said, why don't you come out to world finals? I'll show you what racing is about. And then you can make it, see what you
make
think.
Make the decision, yeah. Right.
So he comes out, it's the world finals, and Del Worsham was my buddy. And I had asked Del, hey, Del, can I show my doctor your car, right? So, oh, yeah, whatever you want to do, come in, you do whatever
check
you want
to
do. Check it out. So I show him, I'm showing the doctor, and he's going, wow, oh, he's never been to a race, any kind of race before, right? Mm-hmm. He's a doctor.
And then this is like a Top Fuel race.
Right, this is Top Fuel, right? So they warmed it up, and they warm it up. It's just idle.
Yeah.
And he said, wow. I said, he's holding his ears, and he couldn't believe it. I said, well, bro, you ain't seen nothing yet. I said, wait till we go up to the starting line. So eliminations, it was on a Sunday, so first round comes up. I take him up there, first round, Top Fuel, take him up to the starting line. I have no people that have credentials to get me up there. First pair takeoff. He's like shaking. He's like, I can't say what he said, but it's like, are you kidding me? He goes, wait a second.
You were driving one of these?
Yeah, he goes, we got to rethink this. Hold on a second. He goes, we got to rethink this. I had no idea that this is what you were talking about. So now as I was laughing and he laughed and now he's a fan because he didn't realize, unless you go to a Top Fuel drag race.
Even watching on TV, it's not
TV
the same.
TV doesn't do it on the
same.
Oh, I've seen it on TV. Forget
no,
it.
No.
You actually have to come to a race to experience it.
Yes. And especially
feel,
from the starting
smell,
line.
Sound.
Absolutely.
It's
you
the,
can't
it's
replicate it.
It's the most amazing thing that can't be replicated.
Nope.
At any level.
No.
There's nothing. TV, forget about it.
Nothing.
You got to come to the races anyway. So now, fast forward, he goes, well, we're going to have to plan this a little bit. She said, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying we have to do some things to see that make
lead
sure your heart's okay.
Right.
So the first thing we did was he said, do you think we could? At that time, I had a pacemaker and defibrillator in my chest because my heart was so weak.
Just in case.
And he saw the 44-amp magnetos on there. And he says, well, they're like welders and they could affect your
pacemaker.
Oh, wow. Pacemaker.
Yeah.
At least he was smart enough to see that, right?
To recognize it.
So he goes,
yeah.
Can we get in a car and warm it up? And because he can monitor on a laptop your defibrillator, pacemaker,
yep.
Right? So about a week later, Del, I said, Del's shop is like 3 miles from my shop. I go, Del, can we bring the doctor over? He wants to warm up the car, and he wants to run some tests on my defibrillator. Oh, yeah, come on over. So actually, Krista has a video of this, and she videoed the whole thing. So I got in the car. We fired it up. My doctor's monitoring my defibrillator, and he's going, he's looking, the car's running. He goes, gives me the thumbs up. Didn't affect it any.
Awesome.
Anyway. So he said, okay, first step passed. First step.
Right.
Next step was, well, I'd like to see you drive one of the cars, and I'm going to put heart monitors on you and see how your heart responds to that. Is that possible? Well, in the Phoenix test session coming up in February, I asked Connie Coletta if I could drive one of the cars, and he said, yeah, drive the DHL car one day. And he let me drive the J.R. Todd's car, testing.
Test it out.
Right, to see how, and he hooked me up with the heart stuff and the heart monitors and everything. He has a laptop there, and I made a 330-foot run first time. Oh, it looks pretty good. Okay, next run, we go to half track, right? Just go to half track, and I'll see how your heart rate reacts. Did that, looks good. And then the third one, okay, make a full run, right? Made a full run, I ran 390, 328 on the first full run. And it looks good. How do you feel? I feel fine. Is okay. Well, I guess you're okay.
I guess you could drive your race car.
Yeah. But that's what I had to go through to get back in the race car.
So you were out for almost like a little over a year.
A year and a half.
Okay.
About a year and a half. Well, even after I was approved, I didn't really have a team to race for.
Mm-hmm.
So that took another year to put my own team together.
Put it together.
Yeah. So it was like, 2 years, but at least I had my license back.
That's awesome.
And I was happy, and it felt good to be back in the car. And it was like, that year and a half after my heart attack, When you have a goal that you've been going through your whole life, and now they tell you you can't do it, it's like you feel lost. Like, what am I going to do? I still have my business, and I'm still alive. So I'm happy with that. But I still want to race.
Yeah, you didn't. Now, we're
racers, man. We want to race. And when I got the okay for that, it was like, all right, man. I'm back in the game, baby.
Back in it.
Yep. So that's the story about the heart attack.
That's awesome. But to see that you were able to overcome that and then go through all your steps. And I'm sure that was probably the first time, like, I'm sure your cardiologist has stories for days now for going through that, because that's not something normal that they're going to see.
No, actually, WebMD, you've heard of WebMD,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Well, they actually did a 10-minute documentary on it.
Oh, wow.
So if you go on WebMD's website, you can watch it. It's called The Green Light.
Owning all these companies, Paul, what would be, I'm sure you have a wish list of things that you would like to achieve. What would be one of them that you would like to see for your company as an achievement?
Well, we've been, our business strategy that we laid out, where it's been going according to plan. I like us to grow bigger in the sport compact area. That's probably our number one goal, is to grow bigger in the sport compact area.
Got it.
We're pretty strong pretty much everywhere else, and that's one area where we'd really like to do better. And we're gonna spend money and effort to make that happen.
That's awesome. It's good to hear.
That's good to hear. Well, thank you for letting us use your office here at PRI. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you came, man. It's good to see you guys. And anytime, you're always welcome. You're part of a family again. So you guys are no different than anybody else we do business with. Part of the family.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Man.
We really appreciate that. Yeah. We're going to wrap it up for the Eat Sleep Race podcast. If you like this, make sure you hit the like button at the bottom. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you check out our social media. We have Frankie5ESR, HugoESR. What is McLeod's Instagram?
McLeod Racing. Oh, hey. Instagram is, McLeod Racing.
You got your personal.
Paul Lee is Paul_Lee116 in Instagram.
That's for your
personal. For the personal and racing. All my racing stuff is on there.